Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A special welcome and thank you for being with us to the students from the Lutheran Classical Academy in Port Washington. Thank you for assisting us in our worship. And for those of you who can stay, come to adult Bible class. Pastor Gobb, the headmaster of the school, will be speaking about it. We give thanks to God for this working together that we have as some of our children attend there as well. Our gospel lesson for today is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we need to pay attention to tense change, right? Instead of future blessings, as most of the Beatitudes were future blessings, there are two that are at least present tense. Jesus tells us in our text that you are salt and you are light. Not that you will become, but emphatically you are. This is what Christians are. They are salt of the earth and light to a world that is lost in darkness. Now I have to confess, I went a little wonky this week. As I got into this text, I said, I wonder how salt's used in the Bible. And then I went down a rabbit hole that I'm going to make you go down with me because, well, misery loves company. In the Bible, there are at least 12 different uses for salt besides the one that Jesus uses in our text. Right? First, salt is to be added by the priest to some of the meat sacrifices in the temple. Leviticus and Ezekiel speak of this. Second, salt is spoken of as a covenant. In Numbers, God speaks of a covenant between David and his offspring is a covenant of salt. One that won't change. Salt is associated with purity. In Exodus 30, 35, it was used as for purifying miracle of the water that wasn't fit for drinking. Salt is also used as a condiment for food, as Job speaks in Job 6. Salt's a preservative. We know this. Meats are salted so they don't decay quickly, so they can be stored longer. Salt is necessary for human life, the Apocrypha tells us. To eat salt with someone was a sign of loyalty, according to Ezra 4. Salt is linked to peace and friendship in Mark 9. Salt is associated with gracious and wise speech in Colossians 4. In Genesis 19, salt's a sign of judgment and a warning, as Lot's wife is turned into a pillar of salt for turning back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Salt was even used as a currency in commerce. The last use I can find was by conquering armies. They used to salt as a curse, as they would salt the fields of the people they had defeated, thus preventing them, any survivors, from prospering and retaliating, according to Judges 9:45. But this is not anything to do with what Jesus is talking about in our text. He says, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. That's judgment language right there. And yet it's also not an uncommon thing amongst the Israelites at this time. Their salt came from the Dead Sea area, and it wasn't pure salt. It was often mixed with other minerals, particularly gypsum. And gypsum's not quite a good thing to taste in place of your salt, right? It doesn't have a good flavor. And if you've got more gypsum than salt, then you can't make your salt any good to begin with. And so if the Lord should tarry in his return, we are the disciples who are joined to Jesus through his word and his visible word, the word and sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And once you are joined to him, you can't help but reflect the light of Jesus, who is the light of the world. And you can't help but season this earth, which is constantly in contact with death because of the wages of sin, which is death. As each Christian will live out their calling according to their God-given vocations, we do so in benefit of our neighbor, thus being salt and light for them. That's one of the interesting things with salt. People don't normally just sit down and eat salt by itself. It's not a normal snack unless you've got a health issue. All right? But it's always better when it's added to something else. When it's shared. When it's adding flavor and spice to things. Well, not much spice, but at least flavor. And so if a disciple refuses to function as a disciple, he or she has ceased to be a disciple. And Jesus is very blunt. They're only fit for trampling underfoot. That's not what we want to hear. But Jesus doubles down on the law here. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. See why we are to cling faithfully to the Word of God, His law and His gospel. For the cross shows us that God's standards can never be lowered. Perfect is all God will accept. In Christ crucified, we see every transgression, every iota and every dot of the law is punished to its fullest extent. See why Paul is content to preach in our epistle lesson nothing but Christ and Him crucified? Paul says the cross is the whole message. Nothing fancy is needed. And the answer to every question, just like a lovely children's message, would be, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. This confession Christians make regularly. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners, of which I am the worst. Jesus died for you. Is that really all we're supposed to preach every week, every Sunday, every service? Is it possible that it says it all? What does Jesus say? For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Think about that. Jesus Christ is crucified is the fulfillment of this proclamation. Proclaiming Christ crucified proclaims the whole law. The cross shows how binding the law is. The only begotten Son of God hung on that cross because Adam and Eve ate a piece of fruit they were told not to eat. A piece of fruit. Jesus Christ hung on that cross because of every word that we spoke that we shouldn't have. He hung on that cross for every word we should have said and didn't say. He hung on that cross for every thought that is going through your head right now as you're hoping this salty sermon will stop. You see, it's thought, word, and deed. God-given faith in Christ crucified and risen is also knowing that the whole law has been fulfilled. No longer are you on the hamster wheel running around trying to do and never getting done. The full extent of the law has been executed. Jesus has been crucified. The sinless Son of God has cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And we're the answer. The demands of the law have been met, every iota and every dot fulfilled. Not by us, but by Jesus. He alone is the resurrection and the life. Jesus alone is the light into the world. Jesus alone is the bread of life, the living life-giving water. Do you believe this? For only by the grace of God through faith can we. For the old Adam, you see, he has to be crucified with Christ on the cross, in the waters of baptism, in the confession of your sins. Only to be brought back to life as a new creature in Christ through the absolution, through the declaration that you are a child of God. This is why we come today and remember our baptism. This is why we desire to hear the absolution, to receive the body and blood of Jesus in with and under the bread and wine, the very precious and powerful body and blood of Christ that is given and shed for you, is shed for me and for all, for the forgiveness of our sins that we need so desperately. Because as Jesus said so bluntly, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Only in and through Jesus will our righteousness, you see, exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. They thought, like many in Christianity to this day, that they could keep the law and be successful. They failed. Only Jesus has kept the law perfectly, and only those who have God-given faith in Jesus can have peace. And this peace passes all understanding and is our gift today. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.